You're listening to a podcast appearing on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
We're on the Green Gab Podcast today at St. Louis Home and Garden Show, day three.
Day three.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, it's been a long week. You didn't have to set up other booths.
I only had to drive from Oklahoma City.
Trade ya.
Set up our booth. It's all fine. We all have our little heartbreaking stories.
I've done too many home shows, too many experiences.
At least I have a master. You are the Jedi Master.
I have a 20-year routine. I do know if I get into the parking garage before 8:30, I don't pay. So,
yeah, there you go. That's pretty smart.
It's one little perk.
The St. Patrick's Day Parade is here in St. Louis today. It's what day is today? March 11th.
Yes.
We know this won't be airing until much later in the spring or early summer. But anyway, as I was trying to find ways, I mean, my GPS kept rerouting me, and then I knew something more that the GPS didn't know, like which roads were closed. And
right.
So it made a very interesting and adventurous trek-in today.
I was lucky because from where my drive is to downtown, where the dome is west. Everything is west of where the parade is, so I didn't have to deal with anything being shut down.
Yeah, the way I came in from the south, yeah. So I had to cross over. And
yeah, because you came
so
at 40.
I went
40.
Out, yeah. I came, yeah. No, I came surface streets, but anyway, I worked my way around it eventually. But here's today, so to the luck of the Irish, since we're the Green Gab, we'll be you're not wearing green today.
It's not St. Patrick's Day.
I know, but we're the Green Gab. What's up with that?
I never wear green.
I know you don't. He doesn't. Anywho, let's introduce our guest. And we're so delighted to have Kyle on with us today. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me this morning.
So, Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Kyle Smith. I'm with GeoComfort, Geothermal Systems. We're actually a local company here to St. Louis. We're in Greenville, Illinois, where our corporate headquarters are. And that's where we're founded at. And
kind of out in the middle of a field, if I remember correctly.
That's exactly yeah. Right, but
I think
it's all right.
We've both been to your building, so...
What's that?
We've both been to the building. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
did
that's
the tour.
Right. And yeah, I remember. We had
a few
that tour
years
that
ago.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
At that time, the Green Building Council had a meeting out there.
Yep.
Yep.
Since
now
George Builders were there. And we've grown a little bit at that location since. That was our original spot. And whenever we started building that building, we never planned on the growth that we had. So we've kind of hodgepodged that building and have plans for it in the future. But then we also have our factory in Mitchell, South Dakota. And that's where we actually produce all of our products and as our main warehouse.
Okay.
So we're a two-location company. It's got its benefits and its difficulties as
challenges.
Well.
Challenges.
Yeah, thank you.
Not difficulties, challenges.
Well, challenges is right. You know, those challenges can be actually an opportunity because it's very nice to keep manufacturing operations away from salespeople like me. Or, you know, market sales and marketing folks. It's nice to have two locations, and you should see our factory, man. It's like you can eat
the
off
one
the
in
floor.
South Dakota?
Oh, yeah. You can eat off the floor there anytime. You can call unannounced, and it's beautiful.
That's an interesting point because as we keep hearing, you know, buy American, made in America. So your products are manufactured in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Made in America is something to me now that I've watched a movie on Amazon Prime, Death by China. My buddy told me to watch it, and ever since I watched that video, Made in America means so much more to me than it ever did before, because I thought it was just jobs.
No.
You know, I'm thinking that's just what I thought it meant, but, you know, it's health concerns, for one, is the most important, but jobs and the economy of the United States and how much more it truly means to be made in America.
You know, and it's kind of tough because we're a global citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be part of the bigger world, but we also want to make sure that we're strong and we're able to do what we need to do in our own country. And, I mean, we're hearing so much of this out in the general news right now, and, you know, it's gotten obviously contentious, but
right.
It's also getting people to think. And I love the fact that so many people are coming to the conversation. And and you guys have been in that position for a while because you do something that's different from what most people are used to.
Right.
Can I use that as a good segue to explain what a geothermal system is?
I was
a lot of people
say.
Have heard of it now, so that's good. But it's still not the normal thing that most people think of when they're thinking of a heating and cooling decision.
It depends on where you're at in the United States, if people have heard of it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Louis is, this is home base for us, and we've
right.
been at it for how many years now, you
right.
know, going at it around this area.
A lot of geothermal in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad has pushed geothermal since the year I was born, basically, or the year before, you know, back in the mid-80s. So it's taken a long time to get a product that you can't see in front of people, if that makes sense.
And that's kind of a lot of green building.
Exactly. So solar and wind, I mean, that's on people's roofs. That's in their front yard, the backyard, on top of the, you know, a wind turbine or windmill up above the house. I mean, people can see that all day long. Geothermal, it's in the ground. It's in the basement. Yeah. It's in the house, which is a benefit. But nobody knows what geothermal is because it relies on word of mouth. The people that have it love it. They turn into what geo ambassadors, you could say, and they love to bring their friends down to their basement or where the geothermal equipment is located in the house, the heating and cooling equipment is located in the house, and they love to talk
show
about
it. Off.
Yeah,
that's like you guys with your
the inverters.
The inverters for your solar panels. They took everybody back there and say, look at all the power I'm making.
Exactly. Watch it produce.
It's that pride.
Exactly. We love to couple with solar too. What a great team, basically an assembly of products into a house where you can have geothermal and solar together. I mean, you're talking zero bills.
So geothermal, which we'll explain in more detail later on in the program. So
absolutely.
Y'all listening, don't get too worked up about that. We'll explain it more. So geothermal basically uses the difference between the temperature in the ground and the temperature where we live to help heat and cool your house.
Yeah, exactly.
In simplistic form.
Really,
and we don't have
to
go into detail now.
Well, no, I mean, I'm in the zone here because of the show. Because you talk about it with folks coming into the booth, it's kind of you're in a rhythm. Every conversation kind of follows the same cue. But, you know, people want to know how it works. They've heard of it by now. They just don't know the details.
Right.
So in the winter, like now, we're taking the heat out of the ground and we're bringing it up to the house.
So like when you go in a cave, it's a constant temperature.
Exactly.
Usually 55, 60 degrees.
That's where it is.
So you're that same principle.
Yeah, exactly. So let's say right now, I think I saw in the car in the way to the convention center here, it's 34 degrees outside.
Okay.
Well, we don't care about exterior ambient air temperature.
Okay.
It doesn't affect us at all because we go by the ground's temperature, which is 55 degrees here. So we bring that heat up from the earth and we bring it up to the house. Now, people think like, well, now how can you, okay, 55, that's still not comfortable for me. That's freezing to them in their house. And that's absolutely correct. We're a heat pump as well. So we're a ground source heat pump, aka geothermal. So what we do is use a compressor to get the refrigerant the rest of the way up to the temperature, to get the home or the facility up to temperature, whether it be 72 or 78, whatever you want your house to be at.
Whatever your comfort level
is. Yeah, exactly.
So basic physics principles here.
Right.
And if you haven't had physics, you can probably look up a YouTube video or something online that'll explain. Basically, you're taking that temperature difference.
Mm-hmm.
And pumping it into the house to make it warmer.
Right, exactly.
In the winter.
It's very simple. There's also air source heat pumps out there.
Right.
We are a ground source heat pump, as I said. Instead of using the air to dump heat into in the summer and to extract heat out of in the winter, we use the ground. And we use a heat exchanger where the water flows through the center and then refrigerant flows around the outside. And that's our heat exchanger. So that's how we kind of act like a Prius, you could say, using the earth as a battery.
Gotcha.
And the rest of the way, if you want to go over 30 miles an hour, for example, that's when the compressor kicks in.
Yeah, what people don't realize, the magic of the whole, you know, geothermal is because you have that baseline.
Exactly.
55 degrees. You're either cooling it or warming it, starting at 55, not starting at 0 or 30 or whatever that outdoor temperature is.
Yep.
And that's where the savings really comes into.
Exactly. And while I was on air source heat pumps, and I was talking about the Earth, it doesn't matter what the temperature is outside at all to us. It can be zero, it can be negative 30. It's all about the design.
Okay.
So having enough loop in the ground and having a properly designed system for your house. And that's what contractors are for. But making sure that the loop is big enough and the system matches that size in the home. So the cooling side, though, I didn't really cover that yet. Everybody kind of knows how a refrigerator works.
Right.
Basically, we're sucking the heat out of a refrigerator and dumping it down at your toes, you know, getting rid of
Which is why the back of a refrigerator is hot.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So we do the same thing. Air conditioning does the same thing with just a house. So what we do, though, is we take that energy, that hot energy, out of the house. We dump it down in the loop, and we cycle that loop fluid through the earth to dump the heat from the house down in the loop.
And explain what a loop is.
Good call. So then a loop is basically the ground or the that temperature. So there's multiple loop patterns you can do.
Okay.
There's horizontal, there's vertical, there's open loop, there's pond loops.
So they're pipes that run underground.
That's exactly right. So there's pipes that run underground. They're a plasticky material and a high-density foam, actually. And they go down in the earth, and they can go in with a well drilling truck, or they can go in with a backhoe, directional bore rig. They can get in the ground a variety of ways. It's just about choosing the right application is what's best for your house.
And you have some excellent pictures on your website that I've seen before, so we'll make sure to post that website link. But hey, we're at a great point to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk more about loops and temperatures and all kinds of fun stuff for your house.
In her book, Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, author Marla Esser-Close shares her expertise and empowers readers to make simple changes to buying habits that affect a home both inside and out. Whether living in a small apartment in the city or a single-family home in the suburbs, Marla shows consumers ways to make any home a green home. Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
It has finally happened. No, Marty and Doc and Jennifer haven't traveled back in time, but the Cubbies are World Series champions. Do you remember Back to the Future 2? Do you remember that, according to the film, on October 21st, 1955, the day that Marty, Jen, and the Doc go back to the future? There they see flying cars, hoverboards, bionically enhanced teenagers, and a certain book called Gray's Sports Almanac. It's safe to say that the world has changed in the future, and it's up to Marty and the Doc to change things back. Ready to revel in nostalgic adventure to an alternate 2015 where things are darker, funnier, and the Cubs have won the World Series? Check out the perspective review of Back to the Future 2, 1989, directed by Robert Zemeckis. PerspectiveReviews.com. That's PerspectiveReviews.com.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From The Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Hey, Gavin with Kyle Smith of GeoComfort Geothermal Systems. My gosh, I could get a mouthful with that.
Yeah.
It's a lot to say in a short amount of time.
Right.
We have a lot to say, though. It's only a 10-minute segment.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally. You know, and I first was exposed, that sounded wrong, but I first became aware of your systems years ago when I was working with a friend and colleague who had and has a GeoComfort system in his home. Gosh, it was installed probably over 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I met George.
Oh, yeah, Geo
and,
George.
But I was fascinated with the concept, and I'm an engineer by training, so I know enough to be dangerous.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that we as a general public often think about all these wonderful innovations that couple technology with natural resources that are renewable. So here's what I want people to think about is that we have all kinds of natural resources around us, right?
Exactly.
And some of them we use up and they're gone forever. Think of burning something. And others, the Earth just continues to give to us, like the constant temperature inside the Earth, right?
Right.
And I love that we as human beings have figured out how to make that work for us. And I love the fact that you guys bring that to us. So thank you.
Well, you got to think, there's some countries out there like Iceland.
Yeah.
This is how they heat the
country.
They run
everything that way.
Everything is geothermal. Now, it's a little different.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's more lava-based.
Right.
Because of all the volcanic activity. But it's the same concept.
City of Boise is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually used, it's basically hot rock or, you know, geyser water.
Did not know that.
Interesting.
In the city, actually, like back in the 1900s, that's how, when the city first formed downtown, all the buildings were actually heated from that.
Nice.
That was their natural boiler system.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So there's a lot of open loops there, as we were talking about earlier, because their water table is so high.
Okay, well, explain an open,
yeah.
Let's explain the different types of loops.
I was saying, we got into all those
loops. Great idea. So really, there's closed and there's open. So closed system, in my opinion, is the best.
Okay.
Because it's maintenance-free.
Ah, okay.
Pretty much.
I like maintenance-free.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
really good with that.
Now, an open loop system, though, depends on the elements in the water. But you could have a little bit more buildup. So your pumps, just like a well, you know, you could have a little bit more maintenance that could happen depending on your calcium buildup and different things.
Right.
But open loops require a little bit more maintenance, and just depending on conditions. But, you know, closed loop, that's maintenance free, don't have to worry about anything. And now I just plugged myself for another comment here, but with geothermal, no maintenance. I mean, everything's inside of the house.
Yes.
In the basement, or it could be in the attic, garage, but everything's inside the house, so you don't have to work on anything. All you have to do is clean an air filter.
So no outside unit like we have on a forced air heating and air
exactly.
conditioner system.
Yep. No
which
rusty
means
clunk.
It's quiet.
Precisely.
Oh my gosh, it kills me when I'm sitting in my old place. Well, I was in a condo, so or a townhome really, so I had a little courtyard out back, but my outside unit was right there, so we'd be out in the middle of the summer, you know, sitting on the deck enjoying the night or whatever, and all of the air conditeners come on and
they all
hit at once.
Well, that kind of ruins the conversation.
Right.
Yeah, and some of them are really loud.
Right.
So I love the fact that geothermal is so quiet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my wife and I put a patio on the back of our house. It's an old farmhouse. When we got a hold of it, it didn't have geothermal. We put that patio back there. So is the old air conditioner. Same story. Clunk, here it goes, and here goes the fan, and there goes our, you know, there's just hanging out, and it kind of changed the whole dynamic. So, but that's a two-part benefit. A is the beauty aspect of it, that it gets it inside the house. But when we get inside the house, we get longevity. So it gets it out of
the elements.
No rain, no snow, no nothing, no sun fade. So everything goes inside the house. So a geothermal system can last, on the short side, 12, 15 years, but I've seen as many as 30 plus. We still get calls from units from 1977 looking for parts, and we're kind of like, are you sure you want parts? I think it's time to replace that, but...
Well, and when you replace a unit, you don't have to explain what you replace.
Exactly. So the loops are good forever. Once you put
or trench and put the loops in, which is probably the more expensive part, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
But once you do that,
you're
that's
ready.
It.
Yep,
okay.
You're in the club at that
one
point.
And done.
You know, so
okay.
You know, in 20, 30 years, when you go to replace the unit, you're only replacing the unit. So
what else in the unit?
So it's a compressor. There's a heat exchanger there.
So like what we're used to seeing in a heating and cooling system.
It's exactly the same. It's any old heating and cooling system. Same story. Just a couple of different components. So a geothermal heating cooling system doesn't replace a heating cooling system. It is a heating cooling system. So it is reversible like a heat pump. So when we switch between cooling and heating, it's the same pieces of equipment.
It just runs the other direction.
Exactly, exactly.
So there's a little blower in it.
That's correct.
So it does. It's a ducted system, so it still goes through heat.
Well,
through ducts.
Great comment. There is ducted systems, which in the United States we have to cool with ductwork. because we have to suck out humidity out of the air.
Yeah, it's just code.
Yeah, exactly. Some folks in the desert climates that try to get around it, but that's the way it is pretty much. Then we have radiant systems as well that we can heat with. We can do pool heating and cooling. We can do radiant heating in your basement or your main level of your house.
The floors.
Garages, sheds, farms. The applications that we can do with geothermal are amazing. That's what makes the job fun to me, is this is the facility or the house, and how do we get geothermal into it, and that's when it gets fun.
You know, and the radiant heating, I always find, is really a psychological thing.
Because, I love radiant,
you know, you
heat.
Walk into a room that has, you know, radiant heating in the bathroom floor or whatever, and since your feet are warm, you're warm no matter what.
What do we say? It's heat with heat. Cool there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just funny how the radiant floors always work.
Comfort.
I mean, radiant heat.
You don't even
floors.
Know what comfort is until you've been in a radiant facility or home. It's undescribable. Because it's like the feeling whenever your feet are warm, exactly how you feel. And radiant heat only really works up to about 6 feet high, you could say, that you feel it. And that's where your body is.
Right.
And,
and all the wasted heat in the ceiling is silly anyway.
Right. I mean, it does heat the whole space. Don't
get me
wrong.
Yeah, but I have to run my fans backwards because our supply registers are in the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
And I've got 10-foot ceilings, so I have to run my ceiling fans backwards in the winter to push the heat down.
Wow. Gotcha.
Just the way they're done.
Yeah.
I live in Oklahoma now, and I had to get used to this because it was so different than how it was done in St. Louis.
The highest BTU output you can get is actually from radiant. So
and
most
BTU
bang,
is how
a
much,
British thermal unit.
How much heat?
But it's just it's a measurement of heat output.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing what you can do because you're basically heating a rock. You know?
And it stays warm a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basements. Just if you're going to build a new house, put radiant in the basement and let that radiate up to your remaining floors of your house up above.
In every radiant house I've ever been in, they don't set the thermostat very high because you get... I mean, I've never been in one that was above like 68 and usually 65 because you're toasty.
Yeah. You put that at 72, 66. That's going to run you out.
Oh my gosh, you're sweating bullets.
Well, it's because you have less wasted heat.
Correct.
Plain and simple.
Because it's directed where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, and it's a fun and comfortable project whenever it's when somebody has radiant.
So let's chat about the elephant in the room. Cost.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
a lot of folks go, oh my gosh, that's going to be too expensive. I can't afford it. And I love the fact that it lasts longer. So we have a longer lifespan to figure the cost out over. But let's just talk about cost, because it's more than a lot of people are used to seeing on a traditional system.
There is that negative aspect.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. I mean, there's lots of options with geothermal. So there is, no matter how big your house is or how small, it's always going to be a very comfortable, efficient, earth-friendly system. And the cost savings, though, is really every month. Every single month, you have a set dollar amount of how much heating and cooling is going to cost you. But to installation cost, the equipment's always the same as any other system. But it's that loop we got to get in the ground first.
Right.
Generally, we're anywhere between 20, 30, 40% more than a conventional heating and cooling system because we got to get that loop in the ground.
But that's all?
Depends on the job. It depends on the region.
I was expecting it to be about twice as much as a traditional one.
Well, remember how we talked about open loops and closed loops?
Yeah.
Vertical systems are our most common because of city blocks, suburban
down.
Areas.
Yeah, you don't have much lot space.
Yeah, you can drill under a house even before it's even dug.
Right.
But it's also our most costly system to install.
Okay.
Not everybody's got a drill rig, you know, a well drilling truck.
Yeah, and you
got
to be able to go deep on that,
Oklahoma,
too.
Oklahoma, we have lots of those.
That's true. But, you know, it does require some time, and everybody has a backhoe, a mini excavator, a track hoe.
And so that's for the horizontal systems?
That's for a horizontal. So a horizontal system will generally be less money to install.
But how much land do you need for it?
I think when we did our house, we did a 300-foot pit and put a racetrack style in of horizontal. It's just a style to put it in, how you lay out the pipe. But it was about 15 by 300 feet long.
300 feet, so...
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how much of an acreage you would need.
It's a couple acres.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're probably talking about needing a 3-acre lot.
Probably.
With a clear run.
Yeah. Yeah,
you gotta have a clear. You gotta have a clear space of 300 feet long in order to get that in.
That you can do. I mean, there's so many different ways to get a loop in the ground. There's directional bore rigs. You know, the guys that go on the side of the highways and put in fiber optics. Same rigs. We use the same thing, and we can actually drill under a house. We start in the front yard, pop up in the back, and we're underneath your house.
Yeah. Wow. But once again, you know, it depends on the soil.
Exactly.
I mean, we've got a lot of subdivisions in the St. Louis metropolitan area that are just sitting on rock.
Yep.
We all see them when they dig them out. There's a community out in, where my parents live out in Wentzville. It is nothing but rock.
Right.
I mean, they were an older part that was built on slab, and now the back part is all under foundation, yet you just see chunks of boulders and heavy equipment out there just digging through that. So I would assume trying to put a geothermal in that would be a very challenging.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's not, but that's where everybody in that area does vertical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Easier to go straight down and just
Well,
bore.
And it's smaller lots, too.
Yeah. They we do it on mountaintops, and that's straight granite. So we'll get through. It just depends on the type of rig and, I mean, a drill bit, just like a handheld drill has a hammer. Right. They do the same thing.
And I would imagine that there are more experienced crews out there that are used to putting it into more challenging environments anyway.
Yeah. There's a house out in Utah where we ski a lot, and we're getting ready to go the week after next. And we go out to that house, and the radiant heat and that thing, it doesn't even have cooling.
You don't need it out there.
You don't need it, but it's all radiant heat, and it's
that's the only way to get away without air conditioning, really, is if you have radiant heat, I guess.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Okay. But there's no ductwork in that house.
Wow.
Because it's all radiant slab heat,
you
know?
That's what I would love to do.
But I do want to get back to, we were talking about costs.
So is this a good time to take a break and talk about that?
I think that's a great plan.
Okay, then let's come back, and we're going to talk more about costs. And we also want to talk about how folks can find out more, but we'll do that when we come right back.
Are you a blogger? Always wanted to be one? Are you a business that wants to add a blog to their website? Are you an existing blogger who's looking for more traffic? Then check out bloggersbug.com for the perfect solution to your blog creation needs. Access bloggersbug.com now and get bit by the blogger's bug. How? Check out bloggersbug.com for the perfect solution to your blog creation needs. Get bit by the blogger's bug. Bloggersbug.com. Get bit by the blogger's bug.
Hi, this is Art Maines from Scammercast.com, where we educate, inform, and protect our elders and those who care for them on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search! Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
So, Kyle, still gabbing here on the Green Gab. You and us were talking about cost and how to kind of figure all this out if you want to put in a geothermal system.
The first key is going through some options and then sizing, as we talked about earlier in the segment. Sizing does have a lot to do with costs.
Okay.
However, my piece of advice to everybody first is put all your money into insulation, windows, and doors. And
build it right.
Yep, do
building
that right.
Building envelope.
Exactly. Do that right, because that's the details. You cannot fix the details behind the walls after you're done. But that helps us out too, though, because that only makes the heating cooling system smaller.
Okay, so it sounds counterintuitive that you would want to sell a smaller system when you probably would make more money selling a bigger system.
Happier customers. And when people are happy, they're going to tell their friends.
It's about the experience once again.
There you go.
Exactly.
You know, we've had this conversation with multiple people, you know, during the show. Every one of them said pretty much the same thing. It's about the full experience of dealing with the builder or whatever product they're putting in. If the experience is enjoyable, the results are enjoyable, they're happier, They have a better experience with the house. They're more apt to use you again and refer you multiple times.
And we've seen such a trend with successful companies and successful people that are doing something out of the box, something different. But it has consistently been about leading with experience and with heart and with caring. And we've seen that across the board. And I'm so thrilled to be a part of that. Oh, my gosh. That is so impactful.
You know, it seems to me like the more successful companies and people have understood that products are no longer just a commodity.
Right.
And if you put everything in a commodity, it's all, well, price A versus price B.
But that's all you're doing, that's what you're going to get.
And that's not really the case, because you have to look outside of that narrow definition of a commodity now and understand that it's not just a commodity, but it's an experience. And the successful people in this industry have already made that leap.
Yeah.
So there, and we just have, I mean, you guys are successful.
Well, let's look at, we were just talking earlier about American made.
Yes.
And America has turned into the throwaway society.
Yes.
You know, and
you hit the
how
nail on head
stupid
on that.
Is that? So stupid.
One we company throw away that so much good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. One company I admire, I buy their products, I like them, is Patagonia.
Yeah.
You know, their jackets and what they preach is buy it once, buy it for life.
And they
That's
fix
exactly
stuff.
What, yeah,
you
exactly.
can send it back to them and they repair it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Who
the
repairs
same
anymore?
Way we feel.
Well, and that's how it used to be. You know, back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, people would buy cookware one time.
Yeah.
You know, I have a mixer in my house that was my grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it was a Sunbeam mixer. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is a tank.
Right.
Never have to buy another one again.
Buy it once, buy it right, you know, and have it done right.
We got into this mentality of if the more you could sell, the more money you could make. And that was the short-term profit seemed to be all that people cared about. And I'm actually reading a great book that's talking about this, but we get into that on another conversation. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I love the fact that you are more concerned about having a client, having a happy family, a happy household that will talk about your product and get it out there. And we're about ready to wrap up the Facebook Live. So give us a quick website where people on Facebook Live can find us, because Facebook Live's out now.
Yep.
And they can refer, since the podcast won't be out for a few months, we kind of want to make sure we get your website in there tied all together.
So geocomfort.com. Check out the website. We've got all kinds of learning, education on there about geothermal, how it works, the benefits. There's about 10, so choose which benefit you like most.
There you go.
And check out the site. Call us anytime. We're about the only heating and cooling manufacturer out there that has an inside team that wants to talk to homeowners and consumers.
Nice.
So we love doing it. It's fun.
Love it. Okay, Facebook Live, folks. We'll see you later. Check out the full podcast at greengabpodcast.com. So tell us how you walk through this process with people.
We don't believe in bids. We don't believe in bids at all, because it's a proposal for your home. And we're not selling boxes. Like, we're just talking about throwaway society. Our conventional competitors, being air source heat pumps or the conventional air conditioner sitting outside or mini splits, they're looking to sell boxes, box after box after box. And what we're after is put it in once and we'll talk to you in 30 years. And then the option list as well. So we want to give a proposal on what the homeowner can expect in cost savings, because Valerie, my wife and I, we saved about 80% on our heating and cooling bills.
Wow.
So our bills in July of, I think 12, before she moved in, back in, we were engaged and got geothermal. So the first year we were at $220 for the month of July in the previous year. Now, the next year when we had geothermal, we paid $89 and some change.
For the
same month.
Wow.
In July.
Very nice.
Yeah. So the
and
cost savings
a lot
savings
of that electric
there.
Cost was probably other things you were running in your house.
Oh, yeah. Well, guess who works for Kraft Foods? Valerie does. So they want us to sample product for her grocery stores that she goes to meet with.
Oh, no.
So we added in a refrigerator and a freezer at the house. So then she also works from home, too. So she occupies the house all the time.
Yep.
And we have that fridge and freezer going in addition. And it's crazy how low of bills you can have with geothermal.
So even with an advanced load outside of HVAC,
yeah,
you are still seeing a dramatic decrease in
the
utility cost.
And massive. I mean, again, you just got to get in the club. And getting in the club is putting the loop in the ground one time. And in my opinion, you know, it's just me talking, but there's no better five-year investment. Everybody wants to know right now, like, what do we invest in?
Five-year investment?
That's my opinion.
Wow. Okay.
Because payback, you're looking anywhere between, it could be down to 3 years if you do enough insulation that we talked about. And you could see anywhere between 3, 7, 8, 9 years payback.
So I'm assuming you help folks with financing.
We do. We have lots of financing options. We do local financing. We have a program that we use as well. We see a lot of success out of credit unions, though.
And what about tax credits? Let's talk about tax credits.
Yeah.
Well, we should have last year.
Okay. So are those gone?
The tax credits are gone for geothermal for now. Lobbyists are working to get those back. But
are there,
you know,
local rebates, incentives, and things?
There's always local rebates, okay. States credits. I mean, and I do feel they'll be back at some point. But it's the EPA says it's the most environmentally friendly way to heat and cool your home and the most efficient way.
Well, and long-lasting.
Exactly.
Here's another question I have, though, more on the tax credit line. If you're saying the payback is there now in, you know, 3-5 years, maybe up to 9, that's a lot better than solar.
Oh, yeah.
It actually sounds to me like you're viable with or without tax credits as far as an economic engine for homeowners.
I mean, back before the economic crisis, you know, before the downturn for us, that's when we sold the most geothermal, was way before there was a tax credit.
Cool. It's so counterintuitive.
I mean, it's crazy not to do it if you're doing new construction. And retrofit, it's just we got to evaluate if it's a good fit. 95% of the time it is. But it's just, you know, some evaluations that need to take place. And our contractors aren't going to come in and say, you need this size of system, I'll give it to you over the phone. No, they need to come over, check out your house, help you figure out what's going to be most efficient for your home. And do you have hot, cold spots? You could add insulation here, replace these windows, and take your heat and cooling size down 2 times, you know, or 2 tons lower. It's a proposal, like I was saying earlier.
So we only have a few minutes left here, but you mentioned earlier, how about free hot water for six months? So talk real quickly about that, because this is a feature of geothermal a lot of people aren't aware of.
Yeah, I could talk all day about that.
I know, but we're not going to give you all day. You have to come back for another one.
You get 2 minutes.
We have a component in our systems called a superheater, or hot water generator.
Superheater.
Yep. So when the cooling mode, as we were talking about that heat coming out of the refrigerator that's on your toes, it's dumping heat. We're dumping heat out of the house, and mind you, we're always moving heat with heat pumps. But we're dumping that heat down in the ground. Well, we interrupt that process and circulate it through a hot water heater. And you actually have two hot water heaters. They match. One's turned off and one's on. So we circulate through that empty hot water heater so that we can produce 130 degree water of that heat that you're dumping and wasting that's free. And it goes into that preheat tank, and once you take a shower or have a hot water call, that preheat tank dumps into the hot water heater.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it just keeps it refilled.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of 250-gallon hot water heaters, and you have pretty well unlimited hot water.
And what about in the wintertime when you're not dumping heat? What happens?
We actually does a little bit, quite a bit in the winter. I think we'll see in around 80 degrees. Still coming to that preheat tank.
So you preheat it and then just add an auxiliary heater?
Yeah, in the actual hot water heater itself, it takes care of the rest.
So it just turns on.
Yeah, exactly. So we can.
So you're not heating water up from 30-some-odd degrees or 40 degrees. You're heating it up from 80.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And it's also
just
ground
like the rest of the house.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a preheat tank, and D-superheaters work the best with two tanks. You can do it with one, but it's really the best if you can do it with two.
I look forward to when I get a chance to put all the stuff in my house I want in my house from the scratch.
Totally.
It's a ways
get it.
Off.
Totally get the dream house.
Yeah.
Dream the green dream house.
Dream green home. That's me. My dream green home. So.
Well, when you're ready, send us your plans. Well, from a manufacturer level, we'll do a sizing and go through some options with you and be able to provide that from the manufacturer level and hand that over to our contractors so they can give you a full-on proposal.
So, Kyle, so many myths around geothermal. What are some of the biggest ones you encounter?
There's nothing that's really stands out that's, you know, big. It's just through word of mouth.
A lot of
you
them.
Know that yeah that things can be misconstrued. You know,
misinformation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One guy came in the booth yesterday and asked about algae on a lake loop or a pond loop, and he said that it won't work. And I'm like, no, that's not true. And another one that even Valerie, my wife, and I are building a home now. Our architect thought that geothermal was only for big homes.
Oh, really?
And no. That's absolutely incorrect. It's all about the ratio, you know? And no matter if it's a 800-foot home or a tiny home or a 25,000-square-foot home.
Yeah, it's just fewer loops.
Yeah, exactly. So the ratio is always the same.
Okay.
It's just your dollar amount's going to be higher on a bigger home.
Well, you got more space, you got more stuff. That makes sense. So.
But the biggest one, I think, if I can concentrate on it, they're all over the board. But we are not an air source heat pump. So
okay.
Heat pumps, to be said, can't keep up when it gets down to 15 degrees outside or 30 degrees
right.
outside or 90. Geothermal doesn't care.
I know when it's on heating mode that the air temperature may not feel as hot coming out of the register as it does with a gas-fired furnace, for instance,
yep.
or an electric furnace. And I've heard some people, especially when they're building for senior multifamily, express concerns about that with older folks. Is that anything you've ever heard?
We get into a comfort conversation, actually, with that.
Okay.
And, yeah, that happens all the time, but because they're trying to operate their thermostat like they did with a furnace. And or like
do.
A drafty house.
And
so
it's more education is needed for
exactly,
like
exactly.
That.
What's that oven? Set it and forget it.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. If you want your house at 74, set it at 74 and step away and don't come back to it.
And it doesn't matter if it's heating season or cooling season, you're
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Because we're trying to save humidity in the winter and
right.
trying to get rid of it in the summer. So the more we can run the system at a slower speed, the more humidity we can keep in the house in the winter, and the more we can suck out in the summer.
Okay. My daughter's working with a friend of hers, and I want to put her in touch with y'all.
Oh, that'd be great.
To see if this would be a good fit for her friend. So,
sure it will be.
Well, Kyle, thank you for sharing all this great information about geothermal systems. Like I said, we've known you guys for a long time and so support what you're doing.
Yep.
So happy to be a part of it. And gosh, we've known you guys through the Home Builders Association for years. So
ever since the Green Building Council started.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. So any last parting comments you want to leave our listeners with?
You know, I'll say just large or small, old or new, geothermal is always a good fit. Let's look over a proposal and see if it's good for you.
And we will find you online at
geocomfort.com.
There you go, folks. Super easy. And find the podcast and a whole bunch more on greengabpodcast.com.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.